Let's talk a little Viking football right now. Let's welcome aboard Ben Lieber, former linebacker, Vikings analyst for the Vikings Radio Network, Fox Sports, college football analyst as well. Hey, Ben, Mark Malusis, David Deal with you. Thanks for a couple minutes today.
Hey, David, Mark, good to talk to you guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Ben. How are you doing, all right?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited for this game, and I kind of wish they were playing the early game because I'm not even playing in it. I just want the game to start.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine, right? After what was, I mean, it's been an unbelievable year for the Vikings. It really has. And the storylines are a lot. I mean, you run down the laundry list. And, you know, David and myself, Ben, we were talking about, I mean, Keenum headlines the list. I mean, he's been a remarkable story of where he was to where he is right now as the starting quarterback for the number two seed in the NFC playoffs.
Yeah, it really has. It's been a great story. You know, he is definitely on top of the list. You know, I think the running backs filling in for an injured Dalvin Cook has been another nice storyline, how those guys have kind of coped with it and really developed within the system. But when you talk about Case, you know, I think if you paid any attention, you read enough articles to see and hear, you know, I think how mentally tough he is. And that's probably the biggest hallmark of his makeup is he believes that everybody's always against him. And he's always trying to prove people wrong. And this year, I think he's had to even fight that a little bit internally with the Vikings because, you know, there have been rumors that there are some higher-ups and people within the organization that didn't believe in him either. And so he had to prove it not only to the public, but to the own coaching staff and people within the organization. So he's done a remarkable job. I think when it comes to physically on the field, his ability to extend plays has been a nice plus for this offense. And then early on, especially early on the season, in the middle of the season, it's regressed a little bit, but surprising arm strength to get the ball down the field. Sometimes not always pretty. It's not a rifle arm, but he does a nice job of putting air underneath the ball and allowing his receivers to go and get it. And I think that ability to get the ball down the field was very surprising to everybody else because we knew Bradford could do it. We just didn't think Case could do it.
Before I ask Ben Lieber a question, I got to tell a great Ben Lieber story. I'm not sure if it was in 05 or 07 when Eli threw four interceptions. In both of them, it was four interceptions.
It was not 07.
I'm not sure which game. Oh, in 07, he threw four against Minnesota,
right,
too.
Right, but I think the game you're talking about was the sharper game.
But I'm saying in the middle of a game, we're sitting there and we're down and it's already a catastrophe. And we're just going through bluff calls at the line of scrimmage. And Ben's yelling, "Watch the sail, watch the sail." You know, we're checking through stuff, and we check. Sure enough, Eli throws an interception on the sail. We're running it down. And I've already known Ben, and I already have a relationship with him. He's like, I told you he was going to throw the sail. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, man, you have a better memory than I do. The one thing that I remember about playing you guys back in the day was I think I still have the record against Eli for the longest sack. We had some sort of cross buck action going on a linebacker blitz, and I sort of hopped over the running back that was going to cut me, and Eli just sort of retreated, and he never went down. So he went through this like family circus cartoon like esque trail for like it seemed like 30 yards that he was like going back and forth, and he about lost me, but I was able to stay on my feet, and he eventually fell down, and I tagged him down. But that was a play I remember because I'm like, is this guy ever going to go down, or what is he going to do here? Is he just going to keep running back to the goal line?
I remember that play. That was in Minnesota, and Danny Ware, instead of cutting you, he thought he saw a quarter on the Metrodome turf and went to pick it up, and you went running over him to make a sack. So I remember that play distinctly. But, you know, the question I wanted to ask you, since you're a defensive guy, you're on that side of the ball, that's what you lived and breathed. You know, I was talking about the two-headed monster of Ingram and Kamara. You know, when Kamara comes out of the backfield, you know, that brings a matchup problem defensively. How do you think the Minnesota Vikings are going to adjust?
You know what? Surprisingly, I think they're going to do pretty well. You know, statistically, the front seven for this Vikings defense is number one in the league in pass yards against backs out of the backfield. And so that's been through 16 games. That's been proven throughout. They've faced a lot of tough guys out of the backfield. And, you know, Kamara's special, obviously. They want to give him the ball. I'm really impressed with his strength, his vision. you know, the way he cuts, you know, he doesn't do a lot of lateral cuts. It seems like every cut, you know, has some sort of vertical component to it. So he's always getting down the field as fast as he can, even when he's trying to make people miss. So he's a special player, no doubt. But I think between Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks and the safeties, I think they're going to do a pretty good job in the screen game like they've done all year long. Of course, there's probably going to be a late check down that he gets some yardage on, but I don't think that he's going to hurt this team as much as he's hurt other teams. I really worry about Ingram in the run game. The Vikings defense has done a remarkable job this year, but there have been times. You look at the Carolina game with Jonathan Stewart,
yep.
You know, even going back to last year with Jordan Howard, pretty much the same defense. They have struggled against bigger running backs. And if those guys, especially in the short yard situations, can break through that first 3 to 4 yards, that's where they've been making some plays. So I worry about the big running back that can get downhill and make a guy miss on an arm tackle and break out a big game. Maybe not for like an 80-yard gain, not a big home run threat, but you know, those back-breaking 10, 15, 17-yard pickups.
All right, with that being said, let me ask you from a Saints perspective, Ben, how do you attack what the Vikings want to do offensively today?
Well, from the Saints defense, they have struggled. You go back even to the first game, and everybody's been asking, what can you take away from the first game? Well, not always a lot because teams evolve, but this Saints defense has not gotten any better against containment on the outside run game. And that's somewhere where Dalvin Cook had a run of 32 yards and a run of 33 yards on the right side of this, or the left side of the defense, right side of the offense, and really hurt them in the run game on the perimeter. And that has not changed too much through the course of the season. So if they want to stop Jerick McKinnon, who I think is the biggest threat on the outside, those linebackers cannot get caught up in the trash. They have to get off of blocks. The defensive ends have to do a good job recognizing the perimeter run game and get out and string these things to the outside because they've been hit all season long.
And when you sit here and you look and you talk about facing a quarterback in Drew Brees, you've done it in your career. What do you think the keys are when it comes to preparation, getting prepared for him as a quarterback?
Man, he's so smart. It's going to come down to Harrison Smith and how he can disguise all the coverages. You know, he is the key for that defense and setting everything up pre-snap. You know, to me, I think Drew is remarkable at play action pass. I think there's some quarterbacks that kind of go through the motions when they're doing a play action pass, but if they can get just a little bit of the run game going, because they've already got the threat from the very beginning of the game that the run game can be dangerous, he goes through that action of play action pass, I think, better than anybody else in the league right now. And he gets his feet set. He knows exactly where to go. So how they manage the play-action pass game, especially on first down, I think is going to be key to stopping Drew Brees. Because I'm not worried about the Michael Thomas-Xavier Rhodes matchup. I think Xavier matches up really well against the big physical wide receiver. Ted Ginn, you know, I'll put my money on the fact that he's not going to beat the Vikings one-on-one consistently. He might have a play here and there. But you have to stop Drew in the play-action pass game. So if the linebackers can recognize, get their butts back into their drops, I think that's how you can frustrate Drew.
We're talking to Ben Lieber, Vikings analyst for the Vikings Radio Network. Minnesota entertaining the New Orleans Saints late game today. Final game of the divisional round. 4:40 kickoff out there in beautiful Minnesota at their beautiful new ball. I mean, that stadium, Ben, I've never been there. David, have you been down this?
Yes,
thing?
Yeah.
I mean, that stadium is absolutely fantastic, Ben.
It really is. You know, it's going to be a perfect day for it. It's about 9 degrees right now. It'll warm up just a little bit more. There's a really light, beautiful, fluffy white snow coming down right now. Very Minnesota-esque morning so far. And it's going to be bright. It's going to be nice and bright. They have windows pretty much everywhere in that stadium. So it's going to feel like an outdoor stadium, even though it's going to be in a controlled environment. And I tell you what, this fan base, who they know how to party and they know how to drink and they know how to tailgate, having the late game, they're going to be nice and lubed up. They'll be ready to go. That place is going to be loud. It's going to be real hard for Drew and that offensive line to get their checks out, because that's another component to their game, is they love getting to the line of scrimmage, seeing what the defense is going to do, and he'll check out of things. So how they non-verbally communicate and handle this, the stress of this crowd is going to be important for them.
And I'm happy that you brought that up, because that's something that I mentioned earlier, because of all the communication that they do at the line of scrimmage, and now having to do it, substituting Andres Pete now since he's on injured reserve for the Saints offensive line. I think their tackles are going to have problems in the noise going up against Hunter and Griffin.
Well, I think so too. And you just talk about the offensive line, and at least the film that I've watched is the teams that are able to stop this running game, they've been able to consistently beat the guards at the point of attack with athleticism and speed. Not so much brute force, but you know, whether they're cutting across their face and hitting the A-gaps or going around them and swimming them on the outside, those guys can be beat in a single block. So a sneaky good matchup to watch for me is Tom Johnson, the very common name that is Tom Johnson. Doesn't get enough credit, I think, around the league. But the three technique for the Vikings, he needs to have a big game as far as getting upfield and getting penetration in the run game, and that should stop everything up front. But you're right. They've had a late scramble with Pete going down. They had to move some guys around. And this defensive front for the Vikings, they are relentless. They substitute out quite a bit to keep guys fresh. And every single guy can run up and down that defensive front outside of Linval Joseph. So you don't know who you're going to go against at any given time. And you know, as an offensive lineman, you guys like to get your keys and get your tells on one particular guy. But you've got Danielle Hunter, you've got Brian Robinson, you got Everson Griffin. So you could have any one of those guys in your face at any given moment.
Ben, be remiss, and we'll get your thoughts on how you think this game does play out. But I want to ask you about Pat Shurmur here, because with the news coming out this morning that looks like Matt Patricia in all likelihood is heading to Detroit. Shurmur, one of the finalists here in New York with the Giants, along with Josh McDaniels, to be their next head coach. What about Shurmur? The job he's done there this year in Minnesota has been fantastic. But Shurmur getting another opportunity after a failure in Cleveland. How do you think Pat would do as Giants head coach?
You know, I think he'd do really well. I mean, given what they have right now, I think he would fit that sort of offense mentality and what Eli brings to the table, if it is going to be Eli again at starting quarterback. Let's just go with that. You know, he does a nice job of using the downfield passing game, but only when he needs to. He's given Case, he's given Sam a lot of latitude at the line of scrimmage to use their brains, to figure things out, get their offense in the right position. And he just basically preaches taking care of the football. And I know that every offensive coordinator says the same thing, but you look at the accuracy ratio and the percentage completion ratio for Sam and for Case, I mean, I think it rings true in how they're getting coached behind the scenes. Is just take care of the football. Don't try to do anything special. Just if you need a check down or just a short throw, then take it. You know, we'll take our shots down the field later on. And I think that sort of fits the Giants' offensive set and personnel right now.
So you think Shurmur's second go around, if he ends up being the Giants' head coach, you think it'd be a good fit?
I think he'd be a good fit, but I think that probably McDaniels is probably a better personality fit.
Gotcha. Tell me why. You don't think you have concerns about Shurmur in New York?
I worry about Shurmur in New York a little bit. He's a very laid-back guy. He's not a real fiery personality. He is very focused, doesn't say much. But I feel like somebody that understands that Boston, New York media – how relentless it can be, and how much of a fishbowl the fishbowl gets bigger in New York. I think having a guy from that area would serve the organization better, because as a head coach, you're going to get inundated with a lot more interviews and the stress of doing that and managing a team. I think Josh just has more experience doing that. So I feel like Shurmur, because of his personality, he's a little bit more laid back, would be more of a fit in Arizona, which he's also rumored to be a top candidate as well.
That's good stuff. Ben, we'll close it out here. How does this game play out? Minnesota, a victory away from going to Philadelphia next week for the NFC Championship game to get it back home for the Super Bowl. They're a 4.5-point favorite. How do you think this one plays out, Ben?
You know, I think this plays out a little bit like it did in the first game. I think the Vikings pretty much, you know, it's going to be closer than the first game because the Saints' offense is a little bit better. But I have a lot of confidence that a week off will get a lot of these guys healthy for the Vikings. Kyle Rudolph is going to be healthier. He's been battling a foot ankle injury. I think it's going to be a 21-17 final score, but I think it's going to be something the Vikings will look back on and they'll say, you know, they pretty much dominated throughout the whole game. I think a late score puts the Saints at 17, but I think this is going to be a nice win for the Vikes.
Ben Lieber, a Vikings analyst for the Vikings Radio Network. In picturesque Minnesota, as you have a nice snowfall before a big game this afternoon. Ben, enjoy it, all right? And we appreciate the time this morning.
I will, man. Always a pleasure, guys, and good to talk to you.
You got
it. Thanks, Ben.